So a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 4th Chapter, Text 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tamas. Namas. Tasmai. Bhagavate. Vasudevaya. Vedase. Papur. Ganam Ayam Somya Yan Mukamburu Hasavam Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Papur Ganam Ayam Somya Yamukam Guru Hasavam Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Papur Ganam Ayam Somya Yamukam Buru Hasavam Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Papur Ganam Ayam Somya Yamukam Buru Hasavam. Someone could chant. Cheese.
word for word.
Namaha.
Namaha.
My obeisances.
My obeisances.
Does my unto him. Bhagavate. Unto the personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya. Unto Vasudeva, or his incarnations. Vedase, the compiler of the Vedic literatures. Papuhu, drunk. Ganam, knowledge. Ayam, this Vedic knowledge. Somyaha, the devotees, especially the consorts of Lord Krishna. Yat, from whose? Mukha, Amburaha, the lotus-like mouth. Asavam, nectar from his mouth. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Vasudeva, who compiled the Vedic scriptures. The pure devotees drink up the nectarine transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus-like mouth of the Lord. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In pursuance of the specific utterance Vedase, or the compiler of the system of transcendental knowledge, Srila Sridhar Swami has commented that the respectful obeisances are offered to Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Vasudeva. Srila Jiva Goswami has agreed to this, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made a further advance, namely that the nectar from the mouth of Lord Krishna is transferred to his different consorts, and thus they learn the finer arts of music, dance, dressing, decorations, and all such things which are relished by the Lord. Such music, dance, and decorations enjoyed by the Lord are certainly not anything mundane, because the Lord is addressed in the very beginning as Parav, or transcendental. This transcendental knowledge is unknown to the forgotten conditioned souls. Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of the Lord, thus compiled the Vedic literatures to revive the lost memory of the conditioned souls about their eternal relation with the Lord. One should therefore try to understand the Vedic scriptures, or the nectar transferred by the Lord to his consorts in the conjugal humor from the lotus-like mouth of Vyasadeva, or Sukadeva. By gradual development of transcendental knowledge, one can rise to the stage of the transcendental arts of music and dance displayed by the Lord in his Rasa Lila. But without having the Vedic knowledge, one can hardly understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's Rasa dance and music. The pure devotees of the Lord, however, can equally relish the nectar in the form of the profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing by the Lord in the rasa dance, as there is no mundane distinction between the two. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarne.
So the conditioned souls, we are in this material world suffering from the threefold miseries because of our rebellion against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by again coming in contact with the pure devotees of the Lord by the process of hearing, we can again revive our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord. As mentioned in the 7th chapter, 27th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, that all living beings are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. So this desire, or icha, and hate, dvesa, or envy, this is how we came into this material world. As soon as we wanted to enjoy the material world and that we didn't like Krishna, then immediately we fell down into this material world. And thus we have to suffer the threefold miseries. So this is our own choice. We came here at our own choice. Sometimes the rascals, they say, why did God make this miserable material world? He made it because we wanted it. And also, it's miserable, so we will not want to come back to this material world. If the prison house was so nice, we would just would want to stay there. But it's made in such a way that we won't want to come back to this miserable material place. So that's the nature of this material. It's miserable, so we will not want to come back here. But just the nature of the situation is that everybody wants to be the enjoyer, and because of that, there's always conflict. And in this way, we're fighting with one another, and we're suffering in that way. So, but Krishna comes, and he comes to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls in this material world, and he rectifies them in two different ways, by punishment, by the external energy, and by the spiritual master. So the spiritual master comes in two forms, within and without. The spiritual master within is a super soul within the heart, and the spiritual master without comes in the form of the scriptures, the saintly persons, and the initiating spiritual master. In this way, they give us knowledge. So we have to understand this knowledge from Krishna and his pure devotees. In this way, we will gain a perfect understanding of our situation. But we should be careful about that knowledge which is touched by a serpent. So just like the example is given of milk, milk is very nutritious, but if we... But if that milk is touched by the lips of a serpent, if it gets poison in it, then it will cause a disastrous result. So similarly, we have to hear from the liberated souls, from Krishna, the liberated souls, then our hearing is perfect. So somebody may say that, well, why come to the classes in the temple? You know, I don't see that everybody there is a 100% liberated soul, so why should I come to the temple? So the instruction is there from the pure devotees. They say, Srila Prabhupada said, that all my disciples should come to the classes. So whatever reservations one may have, one has to understand that this is the instruction of the spiritual master. He wanted his disciples to give classes, and he wanted his disciples to hear the classes. So if we understand in that way, then we're properly situated. So this hearing, this knowledge is attained in different ways. It comes, but specifically in the beginning, in the neophyte state, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we have to hear, we have to get knowledge by the process of hearing, the process of hearing. And then we become more advanced, we can understand a knowledge through the heart. Just like Lord Brahma, he understood everything. Krishna gave him knowledge through his heart. In this way, he was able to create this whole universe. And similarly, if one's advanced in devotional service, then one can also understand how to proceed further by giving instructions in his heart. Just like there was one disciple, Srila Prabhupada, on a morning walk. He asked him how he could get instructions from Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told him that my instructions are in my books. And then he asked him, well, but besides that, can one understand you from like, just like in the heart, from the super soul, like that? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. If you're pure, everything depends upon purity. So that's by purity. And purity is attained by following the instructions of the spiritual master. Just like in the Nectar of Instruction, it's stated that one should follow the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then further instructions on how to advance in spiritual life will automatically be revealed. So in this way, one can understand things through the heart. And it is stated here how the gopis understood things by being kissed by Krishna. So this is a very high platform, but knowledge, transcendental knowledge, is always increasing more and more. So in advanced stages, one can get knowledge in various other ways. So all this knowledge is essential. One has to hear all this knowledge. Like Prabhupada mentions, I think it's in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that there are various Vedic, there are various literatures, the Vedas and the Puranas, and one should hear all of them in order to revive one's dormant relationship with the Supreme Lord. And as Srila Prabhupada also gave his instruction that everyone should read, all of his books have been published, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. So it's very essential that one hears this Vedic knowledge. And this hearing, by the first process in devotional service, this nine process of devotional service is hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping. So the first process is shravanam, of hearing. So if one engages in perfect hearing, then automatically all the other systems of devotional service will become perfect. But without this, then there's no question of perfection. So this hearing about Krishna, this is recommended throughout the Vedic literatures. Even Kunti Devi, she offers prayers to Lord Krishna, and she says that those who are always hearing and repeating your pastimes, or take relish in those who are doing so, they are always constantly seeing your lotus feet, which alone will stop the repetition of birth and death. So this is very important, this repetition, to always hear about Krishna's pastimes. And this hearing is especially mentioned in this age of Kali as very important. It says, hearing in the association of devotees is especially recommended in this age of Kali. But simply hearing is not sufficient. One has to pay attention. One has to hear from the right source, and one has to pay attention. In this way, one will realize Krishna within every page. So this way, one has to have rapt attention. But one cannot have rapt attention if one is not pure in mind. And one cannot be impure in mind if one is not pure in one's activities. And one cannot be pure in one's activities if one is not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and offending. So in this way, we have to follow all these different processes. And
hearing is so important. It's not simply a matter of simply reading. This isn't sufficient. We just can't simply read. Because Vedic knowledge could only be assimilated by hearing and explaining. Srila Prabhupada explains this in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And also in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains how that hearing is solidified by chanting. So both things are very important. So not only should we read Prabhupada's books, but we should explain them. We should write about Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, he wants all the devotees to write about Krishna. Otherwise, how do we know that they actually aren't understanding the philosophy? And he wanted the devotees, and we should also give classes and explain to devotees about Krishna consciousness, and this way by explaining about Krishna to others, then we will be able to assimilate the Vedic knowledge, and it will become very solid, be solidified by this chanting process. So, hearing is so important, but we have to hear about Krishna and his devotees. If we hear about the activities of mundane persons, then we are simply wasting our valuable time. And by that association, we will become addicted to the three modes of material nature. But if we hear about Krishna, then we will directly be in contact with Krishna, and by that contact, we'll become free from all the impurities of our life. So Krishna is non-different. He's absolute. Therefore, he's non-different from his pastimes. It is said that he is pictured in his glorification. So in this way, by hearing about Krishna, we can actually be in direct contact with Krishna. So even though, for example, Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago, still, simply by reading Bhagavad Gita, by hearing Bhagavad Gita, we are in the presence of Krishna, because Krishna is absolute. And these absolute pastimes are there, and all the different pastimes of Krishna are spiritually, they have the same value. He has so many different activities. He has the activities of himself with the Pandavas, and Krishna's activities of killing the different combatants, the different demons, and his activities with the gopis. So these are all the same, and a devotee doesn't distinguish between one pastime, that this pastime is better than this pastime, or that pastime is better than this pastime. No, he takes them, he sees them as in equal value, as they are. But sometimes Sutta devotees or materialists engage in an unauthorized hearing process where they emphasize the pastimes of the gopis, which indicates the lusty desires of the hearer. So we should avoid such activities. I know that here in New Dwarka, there, I think it was 1976, there were some devotees here, and they would get together to read about Krishna's pastime with the gopis from like the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they even invited me to come there, but I didn't want to come. But when Prabhupada heard about it, he was very angry at this, and he said this will stop the preaching, the Krishna conscious movement. So it was disbanded. So this is a very poisonous activity. One has to hear properly, and one has to hear from the proper person. So we have to hear from the right source, and therefore we should give reference to whatever we say. Whatever, any question is put forward
can be answered from quoting from authority, and this is accepted by the Saner section. Even in the law court, the best lawyer puts forth past evidence from the court without taking much time to establish his case. So this is called the parampara system, and this is accepted by great authorities who don't make rubbish interpretations. So in this way, we should quote from where we get our information, not simply say, oh, I heard it from someplace, or I read it on the internet, or even some people say, oh, Prabhupada said, but they can't tell you where Prabhupada said that. Just like Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Krishna Das in November of 72, and he said that Prabhupada mentioned that there are so many false things in ISKCON. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. So we should actually give evidence. Where did Prabhupada say this? What letter, what conversation, where in the books does it say that? And this way, one will get proper knowledge and one will receive proper knowledge. So there, as mentioned in the purport, today's verse, the philosophical discourses and the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, they are identical, and the great souls see them as identical. So devotees take pleasure in all these things, not they say, oh, I just want to hear about the gopis, I want to go higher, I don't want to, you know, just to talk about how I'm not this body, and how there's different aspects of the personality of Godhead, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, and how we should be serious about spiritual life and simply not engage in eating, sleeping, mating, fanning. These are simply for neophytes. I want to hear something higher. No, we should be equally, want to hear equally about all these different subject matters. A devotee, a pure devotee doesn't make any distinction in that way. Only those who are actually neophytes, they're the ones that make the distinction. So in this way, Prabhupada preached time and time again that we're not this body. We shouldn't simply engage in material activity, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is common to both the animals and the human beings. No, but one should be concerned about solving the real problems of life, namely birth, death, disease, and old age. These other things aren't very important. But materialists, they simply are concerned about these things. As mentioned in the second canto, they are mentioned, the materialists, at night they are simply engaged in sleeping and sex life, and during the daytime they are thinking, where's money, where's money, where's money? And simply they are spending it for their family members. And as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he said, one of our devotees, they are simply making so much money and they are buying a car. He said, this is his Krishna consciousness. Not only did he buy a car for himself, but he bought a car for his wife and his children. This rascal boy is attracted to this rascal girl, and he is spoiling his life. So we shouldn't spoil the life. We should be serious about solving the real problems of life. And whatever we do, we should engage in Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada mentioned when he was walking on the beach, he was saying that we are walking on the beach, but we are Krishna conscious. Because he was talking about Krishna, and this way he was wasting his time. But he said others are simply wasting their time. But we don't waste our time. We are eating, and we're Krishna conscious. We are sleeping, and we are Krishna conscious. We are working, and we are Krishna conscious. In this way, we are serious. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam vajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So the first qualification is tesham satyate yuktanam, constantly, always being engaged constantly in Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, then Krishna will see that, oh, he's constantly, he's doing everything for me, he's walking, he's Krishna conscious, he's sleeping, he's Krishna conscious, he's eating, he's Krishna conscious. So let me give him in direction how he could come back to me, what he could do to come back to me. He's giving instruction to everybody. He's giving instructions to the birds on the beach. Like when Prabhupada was walking on the beach with these birds, I think he was talking about they like run on the sand next to the waves, trying to find food. And Krishna is giving them instruction where to find food, when to run, when to stop. They know what to do. So Krishna is giving instruction on how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend for them. But if you surrender to Krishna, if you always engage in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will give instructions to you how to engage further and how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we should always engage in Krishna consciousness. This means following the instructions of the spiritual master. And without following his instructions, without being self-controlled, disciplined, and fully obedient, we cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And without following his instructions, there is no possibility of going back to home, back to Godhead. So in this way, by understanding these things, we will be properly situated and go back to home, back to Godhead. So I could stop there. Are there any questions on these points? Yes.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. What was the processes you mentioned? You said if one is pure in heart, but they can't be pure in heart, they can be pure in mind. And it was like a bunch of different things.
Oh, that's, yeah. One has to hear with rapt attention. Not just simply your hearing, but you have to be very focused in your hearing. But to be focused in your hearing, you have to be pure in mind. And you can't be pure in mind if you're not pure in your activities. And you can't be pure in your activities unless you're pure in eating, sleeping, mating, offending. So for a devotee, that's automatically there. And for example, if you're a devotee, eats only Krishna Bhashanam. So in this way, he's pure in his eating. But if you're not a devotee, if you're not offering your food to Krishna, then your hearing won't have such a great effect. It's not that, we're not going to preach the non-devotees because they won't understand. No, you'll get some understanding, but to make a real impact in your life, to actually purify your heart, you have to strictly follow these principles of, be pure in your activities of eating, sleeping, mating, offending. Otherwise, you won't be able to hear and you won't be able to advance further in spiritual life.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Anybody else?
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. Very insightful and inspiring as well. The first is a question. I've heard it many times throughout the years, and it often comes from persons who are neophytes who don't know very much, who haven't read much scriptures, but it's very convenient to have such a philosophy. And the philosophy that they manifest is that you really don't need a physical spiritual master because God is in your heart. And if God is in your heart, then you can pray directly into your heart. And why wouldn't he give you guidance and direction and everything else? Why do I have to have a guru? Why do I have to go through that? So that's a question.
which should be answered even right now, and those who are listening possibly online who may. It's very convenient because we don't like to go to somebody. We like to think that it's within me, I'm independent, and I can simply talk to God myself.
Yeah, that's so perfect. When we say, well, I just hear God in my heart, or I could just read Bhagavad Gita and I don't need a spiritual master. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. So his instruction is there. So it's not simple. You may say that, well, I just could listen to God in my heart. That's all I need. But God in your heart is telling you to, or Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is telling you that you should hear from a spiritual master. So it's not simply a matter of picking and choosing. That's called half-hand logic. I'll take this instruction, Krishna, but I will reject this instruction. One has to accept both things. So even Krishna himself, he didn't need to accept a spiritual master, but to show by example, he accepted a spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya didn't need a guru, but he showed by his own example. So even if you say you think you're so advanced that you don't need a spiritual master. Well, just do it anyway so others will follow you.
What did Jesus say?
Even if you think that you're so advanced, you don't need a spiritual master, then just get a spiritual master and so others will follow you. If somebody thinks they're in that way, that's what they should be told. They're so, but we should just follow by example. We should show by example. So in other words, even those who are great souls, they accept a spiritual master. So who are we to say, I don't need to accept a spiritual master?
If I may tack one, are you finished?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to tack one extra thing on what you said, is that just the last thing that you said, of course, is really the pie and eating the pie. Krishna himself has a spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is God setting the example for us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a spiritual master, okay? And every great spiritual master has had a spiritual master. So why go off on one's own track when they are setting the example and saving us lots of time and trouble and difficulty and tribulation? So that's good. That's one point. The other point is a nice point that you just made. What does Krishna say about this? As you mentioned, it has a little bit longer, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never again fall into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of me, or in other words, they are mine. Says it all right there.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Shishu Guru and Gauranga.